I want to thank the, first of all, because it's the Shiurim, Chavrus Yosef Tzadik Darch Avinom, so Rabbi Nachmani, the whole family, Zecher Nishmas, his father, Shom Shavon Aliyah, and the Parnosim, Shabbi Yischus, Refuah Shlema for Yisrael, David, Ben Yona Leah, with gratitude to Lizzie and Cyril Ross, Shabbos Service Tavis, and also in honor of the 66th birthday of our old friend Yehuda Behar, we should feel well and we should hear only Service Tavis in Mitzvah Shem. We're on page
Tzadik
Tes, on the bottom where it says Hine Al Inyan Miuchad. We're in the sugi of Kedushas Yisoid, Kedushas HaYisoid. And there's a lot for us to learn. Kedushas HaYisoid. What we're talking about is how the Ikra of Haida, the Derech HaBal Shem Tov, when it comes to Kedushas HaBris, Shovavim, so on, as it is with all of Yiddishkeit, the Ikka is not the Sur Meira, to be focused on overcoming the Taiva, but rather, although of course we have to always do that, but the Ikka is to flood one's life with Kedusha, to redefine oneself, to see oneself and to begin to live a life that's filled with Kedushas HaTaira, Kedushas HaTfila. And Mimela, the person becomes elevated to a place that it's not something that is pulling at him the way that it used to. He's a different person. To become a Ben Aliyah, to become an elevated person. The marshal that I saw once in the Slonim Sefer many years ago, and I've spoken about it. I'm not going to go to the whole Indian right now, but the marshal that's in the Slonim Sefer is that, I think from the Heintig Rebbe is always saying that a Ben Aliyah means that you have, it's not the same thing as a person that's in the basement, but he has a chair or a stool, and he gets on a chair in his basement, as opposed to somebody who moves to a higher story, to a different floor. You could be trying very, very hard, but you're still in the basement, and you're standing on a stool, or you get a little bit on a chair. That's not really a Ben Aliyah. Ben Aliyah means that you have a different apartment, or you move to it's something else. It's a different perspective. That's what we're learning about now, and the focus of our learning is going to be for now for Mitzvah for years, on this avoda of what does that mean to move to a higher place? To move to a higher place. That's what it means to be a Ben Aliyah. To be a Ben Aliyah. Not to be all of one's life in hand to hand combat. It's a miserable way to live. Anybody who's ever been in that knows it's a miserable mahalach to live that way. Every single person that passes by on the street, every single in the office, every machshava that you have, every Shemin Esrei is, oh, where am I going to be schlepped this Shemin Esrei? That life of hand-to-hand, day-to-day, minute-by-minute combat, that's miserable. I mean, if you have to do it, you have to do it. But lo zu hader, it's a chaval. Chaval al hazman, chaval on the neshama, chaval. A person doesn't have to live such a way. A person can move to a different apartment. You can live in a different place. What are you living in that place? With all the lizards and the slime and the filth. You move to a different place. You got away from there. When you're a Ben Aliyah, it means that B'nai Elyon Kulchem, means that you're in a place where the lizards are not crawling around. If you live in the swamp, you have all kinds of mishum dekabrias that are in the swamp that surround you and come after you and you're afraid of and you have to all the time be nervous about. That's when you're living in the swamp. But you're living in a nice place, and you're living in a good place. So then you don't have to worry every minute that there's going to be some alligator, you know, eating your head off or something. You're living in a good place. You're in a different place. This is the tachlis of chinuch. To talk about education, the tachlis is to be able to raise children in such a way that they're being raised to raise them to in such a way where they don't have to like there's this whole back and forth. My wife is fahitz about this Indian. You know how in the front magazines they don't let pictures of ladies in the front magazines. This is like back and forth this Indian. And we all know that years ago, anybody here that's over 40 knows that there was never such a thing years ago that could never picture. I mean, you know, so a lady, right, my wife is reading to me a letter that somebody wrote to one of the magazines. A lady wrote one of the newspapers or magazines. I don't know which newspaper it was. It wasn't a magazine, it was a newspaper. So it must have been one of the Jewish newspapers from around here. Then that a lady wrote, you know, and she had a picture in the newspaper because these newspapers let. So she had a picture in the newspaper, and she's basically saying, like, if you can't handle this, then don't get this newspaper. She's saying to the Zohar, you understand, like, you can't handle my picture that I have a shekel on, and I got a shirt like this, and you can't handle it, and I'm not some 20-year-old model or something. Then you have a problem. Like, you have a problem. And the women don't understand like this whole Indian that men is the hand-to-hand combat. And of course, there's so much to say on that subject. It's such a simon of what's going on. If you're not raising people, if you're not elevating people, if a person lives in a swamp, then it's like that joke that I told you from there was a Jewish comedian, a very famous Jewish comedian. I think he's still alive, but I told this to you a few months ago. I think that when I was in high school, he's very low but very funny. He's funny, and he's a very strange guy. He was a Yid. So he had this thing when he goes into this psychologist's office, and the psychologist is showing him those cards, you know, that has images. What's it called? Rorschach. You know, so you're supposed to association. What does that look like? Right? What does it look like? So every single image, he sees like disgusting things. He says, "Oh, that's this," and that. He says, "That's hockey." It's disgusting pictures, and it's just like shadows and black. And he sees every single thing. So the therapist is taking one card after another. Each card, he says, "Oy vey." So the therapist says to him, "You know, you have a filthy mind." So the guy says, "They're your cards, they're not my cards. You got the problem. I'm a normal guy." Like if you can't look at that, or if you see that in that picture, then there's something not healthy. There's something unhealthy. So instead of raising a healthy generation, we're just playing into this sickness of living in the swamp. And we got to get the kids out of the swamp. We got to get ourselves out of the swamp. That's called Kedushas HaYesod. Not fighting hand to hand, every Nakud and every Taiva and everything, and another book on Shmiras HaNaim and Shmiras this and Shmir. It's all Gevaldig. But it's for the people who are living in the swamp. Cut out the pictures and cut out. It's all. I'm not saying that there's no need for that. If Chalila comes to it and you're stuck in the swamp, you got to fight. I understand. I'm not Chas V'Shalom saying that one should ignore that, and you have to be honest with yourself. But that's not what the tachas of being a Yid. The tachas of being a Yid is to be an elevated person, to be a Ben Aliyah. An elevated person doesn't handle with a picture like this or like that. If it's not a nice picture, so then you don't look at it. Not that, what am I going to do? How could I do this? And how could they put this out? And this is against the Torah. And this is, and the whole thing is again with so many double standards that in the frum books by the frum book companies, they do have pictures of Rebbetzin Kanievsky. There's a whole book Rebbetzin Kanievsky with her pictures all over the book. But then you can't have Rebbetzin Kanievsky in the magazine. So again, you're teaching the same thing, and the kilo, a woman is some kind of a sex object that men are drooling over, and that's what you're teaching the girls that's what they are, that's what a girl is, such a person, and you're telling the guys this message that all girls, all women, even if it's some 70-year-old Rebbetzin, like what's the matter? So that's not what it means. Kedushas HaYesod. Kedushas HaYesod means means to be living in the world, in that world of Kedusha, in a different building, a Ben Aliyah, a different, to live in a beautiful place, not to live in a swamp, to live in a beautiful place. And that's what the Avoida, in the way of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that's the Avoida of Shoivim, and that's the Avoida of Tikkun HaBris, as we're going to learn with the Tikkun Klali Mitzvah Shem, a lot. It's to go to a higher place, to go over. Like they say in Chabad, Chadchila, Chadchila, over. So that's what we're up to. Hine Alinyan Miuchad Zeh, especially when it comes to Limud HaTorah. When it comes to Limud HaTorah. Hine Alinyan Miuchad Zeh, Haise Ikka Golos Mitzrayim. She Yosef HaTzadik Yorad Kaidem, Lahochin HaMakim Shebnei Yisrael Yuchal Lehoches B'Kedusha. Yosef HaTzadik was sent by Hashem Yisbarach by way of his brothers, but he was sent by Hashem Yisbarach to go to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a swamp. Mitzrayim is a swamp. It's called Ervas Haaretz. It's the swamp of the planet. Mitzrayim is the lowest place on the planet. And Yosef HaTzadik is sent. Yosef HaTzadik is sent on a special mission to Mitzrayim. Yosef HaTzadik is sent there. Zuhaisa Gulas Mitzrayim. And everybody knows that it's only because Yosef HaTzadik was sent there on that mission that we were able to survive Mitzrayim, but we were able to bring out all the nitzaytzes that we had to bring out, the sparks that needed to be brought out, and we were able to bring about the tremendous trends, tikkunim, which are preparing us for Mashiach to come, from being in Mitzrayim. But that's only because of those words, Yosef Haya B'Mitzrayim. That Hashem Zohar sent Yosef HaTzadik. He sent he sent Kedusha HaSiyasod into the world, into that basement, into the swamp. He sent this thing called Yosef HaTzadik. This oasis of Yosef HaTzadik. That means that even if you're living in a place that's the swamp, and Manhattan or the New York now is worse than downtown Mitzrayim. It's worse. And even if a Mitzri was having some struggles, he didn't have any Wi-Fi, you understand, anything like that. So it's worse now. But because of Yosef HaTzadik, it's possible for a Jew to live in a place that's mamish, a swamp, and to create an oasis of Kedusha, and to live a life that's clean, and it's pure, and it's beautiful, ourselves and our children. And stop crying all the time. We can't do it. It's not possible in New York. It's too strong for us. New York is this, and London is too powerful, and the internet, and all the boys are raised feeling that there's no way they can possibly be matzliach. It's not true. It's not true. And that's what Chazal mean when they say, and they teach us, reveal to us, Maro, it says Hayom Ro'o V'Yonos, we're coming next, not this Shabbos, we're coming to the Shira, to B'Shalach, and it says Hayom Ro'o V'Yonos, well that says Nahalo, but it's talking about Kriyas Yamsu. Maro, Aroinu Sheyosef Ro. Everybody knows, Chazal tell us, that what caused the Yamsu to split was because of the Aron of Yosef and Tzadik. And the Maral explains by Riches and Gevuras Hashem, and everybody knows that the inyan of the yam of that ocean is that storm of this world of physical matter, that storm, that ocean that drowns the filth of this world, and that when the ocean saw the Aron of Yosef, so then it's an amazing thing, the swamp split, the swamp disappeared. When Yosef HaTzadik comes into the picture, there's no more swamp. That's it. That's when the slime goes away. When Yosef HaTzadik. So Hayom Ro'o V'Yonos, Hayom Ro'o V'Yonos. Well, there's a marshal that's also in the Slanim Asfar. The Nesiv Shalom used this marshal that Yavayid and his father was a big business person. The Nesiv Shalom said his father was a big business person, and the father left him. The father left the world, and the father left him a Yerusha, and he left for this kid. He left him a huge forest. It's very chashuv. Big forest, he left him, and it was prime location to be able to build over there a whole. He could build a whole town, and it could become a big gvir, to from this forest. So what happens? So this, so the son is in this kind of goyse chacham. You understand? He's not as smart as his father, the son. So he hires a guy or two guys, and they go with an axe each one, and they start knocking. The problem is, you got the whole Yosemite over here, and this guy's knocking in his there. It's going to take more than one yovel till he's able to carve out a place in his forest. So he didn't know what to do. So the guy comes, Marv, he comes to shul, and the friends ask him, "How's it going, Yankel, with the forest?" He said, "Well, my father left me such a thing. What am I going to do with this? I had guys there 12 hours, and we made maybe a few, 2 feet, these trees." So the friends told him, "It's because you're a shaita. That's not what you do. You take a fire and you burn down the whole forest. There's a way to make it controlled." That's what they do. They make a controlled, it has to be done properly, but there's a way. You make a fire, candy. One day, Ois forest is gone. No more. That's the name of V'hoi Beis Yaakov, Eish Beis Yosef Lahav, that we were talking about last week. Yosef HaTzadik is a fire. Hand-to-hand combat means every tree. Boom. Boom. That's hand-to-hand combat. Yosef HaTzadik is a fire. Is a fire. The Mashgiach in Chachmei Lublin, before the Milchama, he was killed. Like Kiddush Hashem, an Ish Kaddish, a Goyin, a Tzaddik, Reb Shimla Zelichover. He was such a person. He was like a head like a Tzaddik, like the Rogachev. You know, he had like that also, a head like that. Kol HaTorah Kula. And there were people who had tainus, even though, you know, Chachmei Lublin was a Chassidus Yeshiva. But there were, Reb Meir Shapiro was a Chassidus Yid, there was a Charkiv Chassid, there was a Chassidus Yid. But there were some that felt that Reb Shimla was saying over, like, he was giving a lot of Chabad and Breslov. And it was controversial, even though, it was controversial. He was, like, giving, like, these deep tires. And there were, and Reb Meir Shapiro was totally happy with it. But there were some complaints that were going on. Like, you know, you're supposed to just, you know, learn Kedusha, slave you a little bit, do something nice. But what are you, starting with Chabad and with Breslov and all of this, and Reb Shimla was, and not only that, he was doing Kabbalah also. So there were tainus. I mean, even in Poland, I'm not talking about this is in Poland. This is Chassidish territory, but there were tainus. And there's a piece that they, you know, here's a safe in the Hari Age, they put together, everything of his was destroyed. But they have some Torahs that people saved, or they remembered. And Reb Shimla says in one of these in the Likud HaDiburim there in the Hari Eish, Reb Shimla says that with one blessed, of Pnimius HaTorah, I'm able to blow away the whole forest. One blessed. But they're going to kvetch around with all these different shmuzen, and they're going to kvetch around for 50 years, and maybe the God sometimes will win, sometimes will lose. He says, "Let me take care of it, and I'm going to blow away the whole place." That's what he said. Nabuchi was killed, but that's the Indian that the Nesiv Hashem was talking about. The guy is going with an axe to knock down a whole forest. That's how the boys feel nowadays. You put them in a forest and you give them an axe. That's what he feels. And you tell him, be a tzaddik. The guy's looking at this forest. The forest, that's all that they're contending with. And you give him an axe. And of course, the well-intentioned person puts his arm around the boy and says that, "Don't worry, eventually it'll work out." and the kid has an axe. And he doesn't know what to do. He feels overwhelmed. he's not able to deal with the whole forest. But when you travel with the Aronel Shel Yosef, when your Torah is a Torah that's with Yosef HaTzadik, and your davening is a davening with Yosef HaTzadik, then already it's not an axe. Then Hayom Ra'av Yonos, the ocean moves away. The swamp, the forest, it's like you put a match. And you throw it, like Rashi says that in Vayeshev, with the Pishtan, right? With the Pashtani, with the guy that, with the flax. That's why Yosef is called the Sitna Shel Esav. It means you take a match and you throw it in. That's what the Bishamla was saying. You burn the whole thing down. Of course, he was talking about it being done in a responsible way. He wasn't saying to learn Kisvayri with a bacher. He was talking about how he was doing it. You throw a match in. We could only dream of what that would be like if Reb Shimla was alive and we could do that nowadays. And to get started, there are people that are trying to get started, Baruch Hashem. You could burn away the whole forest. That's the Aron Hashem Yosef. Vayikach, as it says, Vayikach Moshe is Atz Moshe Yosef Ita. Memeila Lachena Hemshech Lezahu. Kalim HaSvir, he was talking about this during Svir, Kamuvu Le'el, Oyem Ezek Mahad Yishav, I'm not going into that right now. Memeila, Vadeh Shekol HaVayt Etzich Liyaz B'derech HaOmer, Obefrat B'Shavu Azu, which was the week of Svir, of Midas HaYisod. Kedushas Yosef Nikres Chaim. Kedushas Yosef Nikres Chaim. The Midah of Yisod, I'm sure that you know, is the Midah of Od Yosef Chai. One of the words, if you learn Shari Ayur, you know that one of the words for the Midah of Yisod is Chaim. That's one of the code words, Chai. Ben Ish Chai. That's Chai. Chai is the Midah of Yisod. It's a part of the body that has Chiyas. Without going into any pratim, that's what it means, chai. That's why in halacha it's called an ever chai or an ever meis. Ben ish chai, the meat of Yisod. Yosef is called chayim. It's called chayim. Yosef chai, od Yosef chai. And chayim. Kamei shoma Yosef, zois asu v'chiu, do this and you will live. That's Yosef's words. Zos asu v'chiyu. In other words, Yosef is not talking about. He's not talking about making some adjustments. He's talking about revival, reviving oxygen. He's talking about life. Lo ha'meisim yahaluka v'lo chol yodei duma. He's talking about chiyus. That's the meaning of Yosef. K'mei shomei Yosef, zos asu v'chiyu es elokim ani yorei. Bnei shebinyonim elu. A Rasha, even when he's alive, is called a mace. He's called that he's dead. A tzaddik, even when the tzaddik has died, the tzaddik is called chai, is called alive. Kshemekasha Adam Atzmo, Ki Ilan Bar. See, special for Tu B'Shvat. Kshemakasha Odom Atzmai Ki Ilan Ba'aretz. If a person, like Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos, if a person attaches himself, that's Yisod, his kashus, like a tree with deep roots. Deep roots. Ki Ilan Ba'aretz. V'yone Chiyas Rak Mitar. It's not that he learns a little bit of art. It's not, and it's not even a matter of how much time a day does he have to learn. It's like we were talking about last week. It's that his learning is his chiyas. That's his chiyas. His Torah is his chiyas. Even if he only has a half hour a day. But that's his chiyas. That's what gives him life. Not because he has to. That's why I was joking last week that you hear the shiur and you put it on the double speed. You mean, how do I get potter? How do I get over with it? No. Every word of Torah is mamish is what gives me life. Kimisaras Hashem Chefza. It's the beginning of Tilim. Kimisaras Hashem Chefza. Ashrayish. Kimisaras Hashem Chefza. Ubisaroso Yegim Velaila. Vahoye Ka'aitz Shosul Al Palge Mayim. Ashapir Yitain Beitai. We call Ashayasa what? That's Yosef HaTzadik. Ish Matzliach. Yosef HaTzadik is Ish Matzliach. V'kol HaShayas, the first pasuk in Tillim is talking about Yosef, it's talking about Yisod. It's talking about Yosef HaTzadik. V'okei shosal pal gemayim. Like a tree that's planted deep, deep. Al pal gemayim, deep in the ground, and it has pal gemayim, it has the water flowing right there. It has all the water it needs. V'okei shosal pal gemayim. A tree that's planted deep, deep, and it has all the Torah. Al Palgei Mayim is the Torah. First, it says Besoros. It says Besoros Hashem Chavtzo, Torah Hashem. Besoros Yeg Yom V'Layis. Then it says his Torah. As Chazal say, Torah delay becomes his Torah. That's how you learn Torah. You know, it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat tonight. Tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Shvat in Sefer Torah. At the beginning of Dvarim, Hoyel Moshe Beres Torah Azoyis. That was Rosh Chodesh Shvat. That comes out that it was the day. There was Rosh Chodesh Shvat. B'chadas Chodesh, Echad Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Hoyel Moshe Beres Torah Azoyis. That really was the beginning of Torah Shabbal Peh. It was still Torah Shabbachsav, but now Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking Kielu himself. Hoyel Moshe Beres Torah Azoyis. And we'll be talking a little bit last night about Shalshis, but you see that the Torah is compared to rain. Yarov, Kamoto, Lichi, Tizal, Ketal, Himrosi. The Torah is compared to rain. Now, when the rain falls, in one place where it falls, they grow bananas. In another place, they grow apples. In this place, they grow oranges. Each person receives the Torah. Reuven receives that water, and Shimon receives that water. And we have to be very, very careful to give each child the Torah that he needs and that she needs, because apples and pears are not the same. And what Reuven needs to grow is not going to help Shimon. It's not, Levi needs something different. It's hard to be a parent, to be a rabbi. The water is this, the Torah Hashem comes down. Whoosh, comes down. But what grows with each of the children is, so the Pasuk says, B'Torah Hashem Chavtzo, Torah Hashem, the rain. But then, how each one grows is U'B'Saroso Yege. He has to find his Torah. The apples, the oranges. U'B'Saroso Yege Yom V'Layla. When you try to force the apple to be an orange, then it's not matzliach. Only when each one is growing it in that way, that speaks to him, that speaks to her. Hoyel Moshe Beresa Torah was Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and then what happens is Ashepiryo Yitain Biito V'Kol Ashayase V'Kol Ashayase Yatzliach. Each person absorbs the Mayim HaElyonim in a different way. Each person absorbs that water of Torah in a different way. And if you try to force it should be Dafka your way, Lo Yatzliach. It's not Matzliach. It has to be that the way that will grow from this one, the way that what he can grow, what she can grow. Each one absorbs that water in a different way, that rain. But the tachlis is b'saras Hashem cheftzo b'saras yigem v'layla. That when a person learns Torah the way of Yosef at Tzadik, it means it gives you life. It's not something that you just learned because it's interesting, or it's exciting, or something. It's intellectually stimulating. It's the chiyus of a person. It's the chiyus of a person. There's in one of Ruth Lewis's in the poems, there's a poem about how she was a Baal Shuva, and she's describing how every house, you know, when a Baal Shuva goes someplace for Shabbos, they have to be put through the same thing every time. Right? You know, anybody there, some Baal Shuva, you know what that's like. When you're in that place that you're not married yet, or you're a guest by some frum family who are like getting their chesed points through you or something, which is very, very nice. But you know how you start to feel after a while. And the kids running around, you have to play with each of the kids and say this, you know, so cute, you have such cute kids and everything. So you're doing the whole Baal Tshuva thing. And at some point in the meal, usually it takes like right 10 seconds in the meal, so they ask, like, so how do you become from? Right? So she has a poem about that. And a lot of Baalei Tshuva, after a while, they get really annoyed by that. That whole thing. Really, they should just print up something and just hand it out. And they come someplace just to pass it around. So she has this poem. It's very sweet. She says, oh, you want me to... She's in this house. So the poem is, oh, so you want me to tell you, like, which teacher in seminary, like, or which rabbi said this, or I went to the Kosel, or I went to Kever Rochel, or you know, I saw somebody was run over by the car, and it was a religious person, and they stood up and they were fine. But I mean, you want me to tell, like, she says, I'll tell you. She says, but of course, she's saying in a way that I can't tell you. She just answers the regular answers, like, oh, I had this wonderful seminary teacher, but she says, because I felt that I was dying. And then I heard from Hashem, and I stuck out my tongue, and I took that drop and brought my life back to me. That's what she said. It gave me life. But I can't explain that to you. Somebody showed me an article that was written in some fancy magazine. There's some highfalutin intellectual Jewish magazine. Not the kind you buy in Gourmet Glad. So some fancy magazine. And a whole article about neo-Hasidism. I have the privilege of being named over there, my name being in the article, with a couple of my chaverim in the article, about neo-Hasidism. And, like, you know, there's a whole book is coming out soon about it. It's a whole book about this. Some are in favor and some are against, you know. And so somebody gave me this article to read. And after, you know, I was into reading a little bit, and I just throw it into the garbage and go to shul and see my chavra, that's all. So I said to my wife, I said, it's the difference between being dead and being alive. That's all. I have no way to explain it. They're writing an article about Reb Joey Rosenfeld. Or about this one, or about that one, and like, what's wrong? And they're looking at it. The professors are studying it. The professors now, like, I became a study. There's the Meiser. They're studying me. You got nothing to do with your life? No, you're studying me? If you want to talk to me, come talk to me. What are you studying me? And there was a year there was a professor that I didn't know when I was in the yeshiva. I was there very often in those years, and he was coming, and he came to talk to me. He said that he passed away now, but he has an essay in this book that he's a professor, an anthropologist, something else, and that he was studying this. I didn't know. I thought he was just an older guy that was coming to learn. So he asked, could he talk to me? And then he told me that he's really like the spy or something. He was studying me. I said, yeah, I'm not comfortable with that. I thought you're just like an old yeshiva bach or something. Now you tell me, you're studying me. But then I'm glad you came to talk to me, and we spoke. And of course, he was getting into the Inyan. He was getting very strong into the Inyan. Unfortunately, he got sick, he passed away. He's a very special person. A study. I want to say that these boys, or the guys, the girls, that they're coming to Rabbi Nachman, that they're coming to the Baal Shem Tov, it's not because of a decision. It's not because of a lecture that they heard. It's because they were dying, and they found some water to drink. You understand? If you understand that, then I don't have to explain anything else. It's you know that you're dying, and that you have something to drink. And that's exactly the marshal that the Alter Rebbe gave. The Baal Tanya said, but the prince that was dying, and there was a little bit of... Everybody, the famous Moshe, from the crown, the gem from the crown of the king, and to crush it and to make it into a potion and to give a drop that will bring the prince back to life. It's called life. Ke'et shosal pal gemayim, it's the tree that's planted by the water, and the roots are deep roots. It's not because of a decision that I thought this is an interesting subject. Now I'm going to major in neo-Hasidism. The whole term, who started that term? I remember when it started, which is to me is a very, very upsetting term, that whole term, because it connects to something that's not pure and that's not holy. And you have people that are criticizing it, and it was in the article how there are professors that are saying that it's shallow, that it's, what other terms are they using? All kinds of nice terms for in the study of it, and sitting in their studies someplace, you know, with a scarf, you know, and they're sitting on their computer Googling different things because they never heard they never heard of the Rishnis. I don't know, or they think the Bidisha was called the Bidrichever, and they're looking it up on Google, and then they write an article about Chassidus. Chassidus is the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh is Ish Chai Rav Poalim. He's Or Sheva Siyam. He didn't come to teach anything. He came to give his life. If you're dying in a hospital, God forbid, if you're on a respirator, and if you're not on a respirator, you feel that you, God forbid, you can't breathe, and you're dying, and then they hook you up, and you're able to breathe. That's what the Baal Shem Tov did to us, except without all the machinery. That's what the Baal Shem Tov did. The Baal Shem Tov didn't come to give a lecture, to give a shiur. The Baal Shem Tov gave to give us oxygen to breathe. And when a person makes himself open enough and modest enough and humble enough and vulnerable enough to say, I'm dying, I can't go on this way. The forest is killing me. The swamp is drowning me. I'm dying. And then you open yourself up and you make yourself humble and you mavata yourself in such a way, then when you taste the Baal Shem Tov, that's what Ruth Lewis was saying. Then when you taste the Baal Shem Tov, it's not, oh, that's interesting. So I can't explain it to you. The first Sikh in Sikh HaZeran. I can't explain it to you. Ani Adati, go to Lashem. Thank you for giving my life back. I was dead. You gave me my life. Now you want to study that? You want to study that? So you want to come now and come with a tape recorder and go into the person that's on it, that was put onto the respirator, who was dying, and put on the respirator and says, why is it that you're on this? What is it that you get out of this? What did I get out of it? I'm alive. That's what I get out of it. And it's much deeper than that, and stop being alive. It's a chaya chayim. Kim chomeko chayim ba'orch nera or. You're studying it from the outside. When you come into the inside, then you see that it's chiyus. Or v'chiyus nafshein, amavish. Or v'chiyus nafshein. To be alive. That's what it means, Kedusha Yosef Atzadik. I'm not saying it could only be with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, because right away they start jumping on that and everything. But the pnimius of Torah, the life of Torah, b'saras Hashem chefso, b'saras yegem, the Torah that speaks to you, b'saras yegem, and that doesn't mean that you don't. That doesn't mean that you don't get chiyus from a blad gemara and from a good taisus. Of course, it's a merdik chiyus. But it's when that blad gemara is in the context of the or of the 7 days of creation. It's a different parasha. It's something else. The same blad gemara is a different blad gemara. It's a different blad gemara. It's not to learn gemara, but to learn gemara with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To learn gemara with Hashem's Baruch Hu. And to get chiyus from every single Rashi and Taisus, with the simcha, with happiness. Not, I'm in some sort of a competition that I have to make a siyum, or I have to slug up to my charusa. But to learn Torah because it's giving me life. And I have chiyus from this blad gemara, that it gives me the biggest chiyus. Not because I'm now smarter, or now I could show off, or people could see that I'm able to be in the Aleph Shir or something, or I'm able to write a sefer, or I'm able to. I knew Jews that knew Shas that nobody ever knew when they did, how they did, who they were. There are Jews like that. You could walk around in Yerushalayim, and there are people passing you on the street that know Kalat Torah Kula, and nobody knows. Nobody knows. Still from that type. Nobody knows. I remember in our shul when I was a kid. Any time there was an Indian in learning, so I used to go ask him. And at first he was a survivor, and he would always say, "Why are you asking me? You have nobody to ask. You don't go to yeshiva. What are you asking? What are you bothering me?" He was like a type guy. Like, "Why are you bothering me?" And he said, "Oh, I don't know, there's nobody here, whatever." So, "Oh, you're in yeshiva, you'll be in yeshiva tomorrow, I ask you, right?" But if you kept up with him, my father said, "Don't let go of him. Don't let go of him." This year, this is a long time not here. And then eventually, then he would start the whole Gemara, the whole Rashi, the whole Ramban, the whole on the Gemara, the whole Rashba, everything. Any Gemara. There's a Torah that from fire and from water, you understand? It's a different Yiddishkeit. It's a different Yiddishkeit. A Jew that breathes a blood Gemara as opposed to someone that learns a blood Gemara. That breathes a Rashi, a Tosis, that breathes it, that lives it. Kihim chayein v'arech yamein v'achiyiz. That's the Torah that comes from Hashem. The Torah that comes from Hashem is fresh and exciting. The Torah that's in an old book can be boring. When it's Hashem's Baruch, when it's Yosef HaTzadik's Torah. Zois asu v'chiyos alakim an yorim neishabinyonim elu b'miuchad v'yashem v'chayim k'yim tzadikim af meisim v'kormah shemekasha atzmo ke'ilan ba'aretz tu b'shvat. When you attach yourself, it's kashas. The roots are deep. The yonek chiyos rak mi Torah. Your whole chiyos comes from Torah. Torah is not just another, like we were learning last week, Torah is not just something else that you have on your schedule that you also learn. Maybe you only have a half hour a day, but that's your half hour. You live for that half hour. Davening, you have a shachas and mincha ma'ariv, but you live for your davening. It's not something you have to be part of. You have the whole chiyos from your davening. That's the most choshev thing. That's what you're going to learn what that means, to be machshev. That's the kedushas yisod iskashus means to be machshev. To be machshev. Could be you only have a few minutes a day to talk to your wife or to your kids. But it's chashivas. It's the biggest chashivas in your life is your wife and your kids. That's chashivas. When you machshev something, the biggest way, that it's your chiz. Your kid is your chiz. My father Oshom had very little time when we were growing up. But I never ever felt that I wasn't my father's chiz. I always felt that I was my father's chiz. I don't know how he communicated that exactly. He didn't talk much. But I felt that I was his chiyas. Not that I'm some annoying little insect that's running around the house. Some annoying thing. What do we do with this kid? Or get him medicated or something. I always felt that I was my father's chiyas. My mother's chiyas. My mother's chiyas. Our children have to feel that, the children to feel that they have a chiyas from us. And that they're our chiyas. You understand that I live for you. That doesn't mean I have to buy you this or get you that. If you have to do that in order that your kid should like you, then you already lost the whole thing. That your kid knows that my father lives for me. My father's chiyas is me. That's what it means. That's Kedushas Yosef. It's not just in learning and davening. It's a life. It's a life of Yosef HaTzadik. Kol asher yaseh yatzliach. Bi'itoi yitein piryo. Piryo yitein bi'itoi. It's a different life. Chiyus rak mi kedusha. The chiyus is from kedusha. I have to do this. I have to go to work. I have to take care of this, the bank. I have to take care of the accountant. I got to take care of this. My chiyus. What gives me life? That's what she was saying in the poem. That's Kedusha gives me life. My wife, my children, my learning, my davening. That's my life. My Shabbos. That's my life. My Shabbos is my life. That's what gives me life. Everything else I do. But this is what gives me my life. Merachik atzam yikola devar makru yimeisim. And such a person stays, doesn't want to go near the meisim. All those things that are called misa. They're called death. Holding your Pagam HaBriz, all the disgusting things that are out there, that's all cemetery stuff. That's all Misa. It's all death. all the shows and all these things and the pictures, that's Misa. It's Mius. It's disgusting. And it's Misa. It's not from the world of the living. Umekasha atzum l'chaya chay. That's Kedusha, say yourself. You attach yourself to Chaya Chay. Chaya Chay. V'atam advekim Hashem lekechem chayim kulchem hayim. And when a person does that, then he's already living in a luxury suite. Something else. It's a different perspective. It's a different perspective than being in the swamp with all the dead, disgusting things in the swamp. He's now living a life with the living. Your friends that you have, the friends that you choose, are friends who are alive. They're living friends. Some of you might have friends that are not alive. I don't mean, God forbid, that they're physically dead, but they're not alive. What gives them life is Narishkeit. That's what gives them life. You have to have friends that are alive, that their chiyus comes from Kedusha. That's what makes them excited. That's what gives them a chiyus. If the kids, if our boys, our girls in school, when they're in a classroom where they feel that, where there's a chiyus. My wife was saying to me the other day that, you know, there's a whole thing that the kids that are difficult, they're not showing up to class, and now a lot of kids are absent and not feeling well, but even when they're feeling well, they don't want to go. And then you have some difficult kids. So my wife said, if there was a wedding the night before, and that girl was at the wedding, and my wife said, and I went over to her, and I took her hand, and I danced with her, she's going to come to class the next day. Emes? 1,000%. That's it. That's the whole story. Why is she going to come to class? All the other teachers are complaining. Is it Kipnish? Why is she coming to this teacher's class? Because she took her hands and did a rikud with her. She comes to class. She'll come to class the next day. That's not so complicated. But they make it like, again, studies, projects, and all kinds of air-based articles and papers and books. Stop talking so much and take the girl's hands at the wedding. She'll come to class. Talk to her a little bit. Invite her over a little bit. Why is this complicated? Why is it so confusing? Why do there have to be studies made about it? It's not complicated. Every one of us remembers that there was a Rebbe like that. There was a person like that in our lives. That's how it is. It's about chiyus, about somebody recognizing you're alive. I'm alive, you're alive. Let's live together a little bit. Let's make a l'chaim. That's what it means, to make a l'chaim. L'chaim.